Hi, here we go. Memories of the game. Marty Lurie here with Gary Hughes. This game of baseball, what makes it different and special from the other games really are the stories of baseball. That's what connects generations. Boy, you go back 100 years of generations of baseball fans. Stories go from one to another. Someday in 40, 50 years, I'll listen to this one. Let's get some of your favorite baseball moments.
You know, I was thinking, I was just talking to Billy Williams today, and we were talking about Billy Martin. And in 1981, I was advanced scouting for the New York Yankees, and we're going to play Oakland, Billy Ball, Billy's team. And for 32 straight days, I followed Billy around. I never had so much fun in my whole life. He ended up literally giving me his car to use in Kansas City, and he had Steve Vucinich call one day during the week, wanting to know if it'd be all right if Mr. Martin used his car again. I said, yeah, I think we can have, we'll have time to find it. But he, just seeing that Oakland team and being able to follow it as much as we did, and we were able to beat them too, which made it even more fun. And that's when we ended up in Oakland, and we swept in three games. And that night, Reggie got decked by Greg Nettles over at, I think it was Vince's, and so it was always something there. The Yankees were, it was an amazing time as well. But to see Billy and to get to share as much time as I did in that month with him was really something special.
You know, when I think of Billy Martin, the first image I tell you that comes to mind is Casey Stengel.
Yeah, he loved Casey, and a good friend of mine and who works for us still, Charlie Silvera, was a big loved Casey, and still tells great Casey stories to this day. And of course he was with Billy forever in different places, including Oakland. I think he scouted for him there, but he coached for him in Texas, and he coached for him in Minnesota, and I think in Detroit too. And the stories, like you said, it's the stories, and even more than the stories, it's the people. The people in this game are phenomenal, and the guys that aren't really stick out.
Talk about some of the players, some of the old-timers you've met as you've come along. Charlie Silvera is one, the great backup catcher for the Yankees, and was on the 5 World Championship team. But some of the other ones that you've come across, you say, boy, it's nice to know they were in baseball.
Yeah, this people like Bob Lemon come to mind. You can't find a better person anywhere than him. And we're talking about old-time players, but I spent 3 years in Cincinnati, and there's no better person, a nicer person than Sean Casey. And getting to know people like that is just fun. We had great people over there. Aaron Boone, who unfortunately played basketball this offseason, is not playing baseball this year, but another great guy. And it's just so enjoyable to see these people. It's the people that have accomplished so much in this game, still humble enough to talk to you and spend time with you, and you enjoy their company.
Bob Lemon, great pitcher, great slider, great sinker, Hall of Famer. He was an infielder, then he became a pitcher. What was he like as a manager?
Low-key. He was just happy to be there. He was the exact opposite of Billy. Billy was fiery, and everything was there was another bomb going off every day with Billy, and with Lemon was just everything was smooth and calm. I was fortunate enough. I was up in Cooperstown for an induction when Joe Morgan and Jim Palmer were inducted, and they have a cocktail party at the Hall of Fame the night before. And Lem, we took one of those motorized cable cars over from the hotel to the Hall of Fame. Now, we're going to have a cocktail party in the Hall of Fame. And I said, so I tapped Lem. I said, Lem, I said, this has got to be a pretty good party. And he called me Boomer. He says, Boomer, he says, I'm not really sure. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, I says, last year, he said, I don't even know if I can get in. I says, Lem, you're a member of the club. You can get in. He says, yeah, but he says, I over-chocolated last year, and I'm not sure they're going to let me back. I said, Lem, they'll let you back in.
Gary Hughes, our guest here, memories of the game. What do you think of Cooperstown, going up there and being in the Hall of Fame, seeing it?
It's unbelievable. And they've done a thing up there now where the kids go up there and play all summer. They go in for a week and stay there. Jim Leland's son, Patrick, was playing there, 11 years old last year, and I went down and watched him play, and that was a thrill seeing Jim flash signals to his son from the side. And Jim wasn't the coach, but he was still flashing signals, and it was good to see. But Cooperstown's a very special place, and it's magical. It's a place to go time and time again, and if you haven't been, you gotta go. It's just the history there, and there's a lot of other history of there. James Fenimore Cooper and people like that.
being at the Hall of Fame, there's certain exhibits, I don't know, that jump out at you. Maybe things you remember, a uniform, a picture, a baseball, an old-time glove. How about for you? What was it?
Well, what's to me there was real important. It's kind of a commercial. What we're trying to do with scouts is get scouts in the Hall of Fame, and we're working with Jeff Idelson at the Hall of Fame and some other people to get to accomplish this. And we need to have our own exhibit there, and we've raised most of the money so far. So I'm really, it's not so much an exhibit that's there now. I mean, you see Babe Ruth's locker and stuff like that. I mean, just you can't explain it, but the day when they honor scouts in there in some form will be the day that I will really go back and enjoy it.
You've been around the game so long. You talk about some of the managers you saw. And what about players? Do you say, wow, that was a player?
Well, the greatest that I ever saw, and maybe the greatest ever to play, was Willie Mays. And to see... And the first words that I think of when I think of Willie Mays, everybody might think home runs, feeling, whatever, is instincts. I've never seen a guy have better instincts for the game of baseball than Willie Mays. And it's just, he always did the right thing. He always took the extra base. He always threw to the right base. And it's unbelievable. And ironically, the guy that I've seen with as good instincts on a base is almost as Mays is Larry Walker. You think about Larry Walker, and can you ever remember him being out? He's always safe by a half a step, and how does a kid that played hockey in Maple Ridge, British Columbia, end up with great baseball instincts? He's got them.
Tools, the five tools of baseball: power, speed, arm, ability to hit the ball. What about arm? What's the best arm you've seen?
Well, a kid Guerrero now, Clemente, you know, you still think of the pitcher in the World Series where he goes in, deep in the corner and comes up through a maze. I mean, I can remember as a kid, we used to be able to walk out at Seal Stadium. You'd get to walk through the center field and leave. And I can remember as a kid looking around from deep center field and trying to see home plate and then realizing that Willie Mays could throw it on a line to home plate. Mays had a great arm. Clemente had a great arm. Vladimir Guerrero has a great arm. It's a tool that's probably, you know, you can get away with a weak arm, and, you know, if you can hit. But it's exciting. See, it takes your breath away to see some of these guys that can really throw. And if they can throw, they'll show you it, too. I mean, it's just like anything else. If you got a gift, you want people to enjoy it.
Did you ever go see the AAA Seals when they were there in San Francisco?
61 games the last year. I could tell you the lineup. And, Joe Gordon managing that club, and Glenn Wright is his coach, and, you know, Haywood Sullivan, and I can go on and on. Pumpsy Green came up at the end of the year there when Ken Aspromonte went to the big leagues, and what a thrill it was. And we used to sneak down behind the dugout and on the third base side and got to know the players pretty well. And we'd drive up from San Mateo all the time. I was raised in San Mateo, and I loved Seals. I hated the fact that Giants and the big leagues are coming because my Seals are leaving, and I didn't. So I said I was protesting. I'm not going to go to opening day because I love the Seals. Well, in reality, it was a school day, and my mom wouldn't let me go. But I went the second night. And Ramon Monzant beat the Dodgers, I think, 14-2 or something like that. But Duke Snider hit one in the park across the street, and I realized there is a difference. You know, I mean, it used to be if you get a ball into the right field seats, that was really something. He hit it over the park across the street, so it was special.
You know, you mentioned Glenn Wright. A lot of people don't remember Glenn Wright. He's a great shortstop, had some power, was a good big league player.
I'll tell you about Glenn Wright. Gary Schumacher, who was the Giant publicist for years, and in his Brooklyn accent, he used to always say, the best guy that's not in the Hall of Fame is Glenn Wright. And he used to get mentioned all the time, but he doesn't get mentioned anymore as a potential Hall of Famer, and he should. The guy that kept his name going was Joe Cronin, and when Joe passed away and was no longer on the old-timers thing, Glenn's abilities kind of got lost, and He was awesome. He I'll never forget this. He had cancer in that last year with the Seals, and the players between the doubleheader, the last day of the season, they went through the stands with Safeway bags and collecting money for Glenn Wright. And the guy that led that thing was Sal Tormina. And ironically, Glenn Wright outlasted Sal Tormina. Sal passed away jogging, in, I think, in Santa Clara, and Glenn lasted a little bit longer. I went to Glenn's funeral, and he was a real, real gentleman.
Boy, nice to have Gary Hughes with us here in Memories of the Game. These are good names you're coming up with. I'll throw one at you of that Seals team. How about Leo Kiley?
The Black Cat, 21 wins out of the bullpen. And, he had an unbelievable year that year. And, you know, the names, just the Seals names. We used to get a round-trip ticket on the Greyhound from San Mateo, and then I'd bug Reno Chesso to get a ride home. This was not the last year, but before that. And we'd get a ride, so then we could cash in the ticket when we got back to the Greyhound station and then buy a blimp hot dog in San Mateo. But it was oh man, it was fun. Little Albie Pearson, little Ted Beard, guys like that. Marty Keogh, Tommy Umflett, Bill Renna, you know. And then I go back. I mean, I go back to Roy Nicely, Goodfield, the original Goodfield no hit Nicely, and Jackie Tobin and Mickey Rocco and Tony Ponce pitching both games of a doubleheader. When Tommy Heath went out to take him out in the second game, the crowd wouldn't let him take him out, and he ended up winning both games of the doubleheader.
Did you ever get to meet Lefty O'Doul?
No, never met him, the man in the green suit. I never, you know, Marblehead. And I didn't really, you know, I admired what he'd done, and I guess he was renowned as a hitting instructor. And you know, and he was so much a part of San Francisco, but I never did get to meet him.
Well, Ferris Fain talked about him a lot. Did you meet Ferris Fain?
No. And we were just talking, Charlie Silvera was talking about Ferris Fain the other day, you know, another a great player. And all the players that used to come out of the city was phenomenal, and that's kind of dried up. I mean, Jerry White and Mike Norris might have been the last two guys to come out of the city.
Boy, great to have you on the show. This is Baseball Talk. Gary Hughes, thanks so much. That was nice.
My pleasure. Thank you, Marty.